Middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us, and every Wednesday at this time, we talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hey, National Cheeseburger Day coming at you today,
Woo!
You know?
Oh, all right. We'd only known earlier. There's a national every kind of day, isn't
there?
Yeah,
every day there's something. Or you could just make it up.
A lot of good days.
You know
what?
That gives you something to look forward to, Dale.
There you go.
Bringing your step.
Well,
good point.
Whatever it takes. So the Patriots, when last we checked, were a 24-point favorite over the New York Jets. Bill Belichick, during his press conference today, was trying to talk them up like Lou Holtz trying to pump up some slappy school against Notre Dame.
I remember.
There's not much of a chance of the Jets pulling this off with Luke Falk and David Fales, right?
No, and that's where I always start when I'm trying to make a prognostication is, okay, how much will the worst team score? Can they generate points? I didn't think Miami would score last week. I was prophetic. I am now 1-1 on the year when releasing the Patriots information, and I don't think that the Jets are going to get more than 6, and you can almost bet on... I think this team is going to start taking... And we saw it the other day, great pride in the points allowed. I mean, there's 3 so far this year, and the 3 were almost, you know, kind of a false triumph for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could they go 3 weeks allowing just 3 points?
Yes.
If you're asking, the answer is yes.
So this won't impact them this Sunday. Maybe the following Sunday. But how do you feel about the offensive line right now? Isaiah Wynn... You know, this time yesterday, we thought maybe it was week to week. Now we know that he's on the IR. He could come back, but not till week 11. At one point, if you include Andrews, they have 3 backup offensive linemen, or 3 starters, I guess you could say, all out. How do you feel about the O-line? How big of an issue could it be?
I think it's a big issue, and I think it's a big issue this week as well, for the simple reason that they're going against a Greg Williams coach defense, and we know his approach is to, you know, chop off the head and the rest of the snake dies, whatever it was, and he's carried on that tradition throughout his career, despite Bounty Gate and what happened in New Orleans. So the Jets have nothing to lose by bringing 5, 6, and 7 as often as they can at Tom Brady, and trying to overwhelm Corey Cunningham and Marshall Newhouse and whoever is back there to chip, as Wiggy was talking about last night a bit on early edition, with there's going to be tight end, there's going to be back responsibilities there to help pick guys up, but there is a concern just in the well-being of the quarterback.
Now, do you think that because of the situation with the O-line, that maybe the Patriots, you know, reach out to the Washington Redskins and see about potentially acquiring Trent Williams?
You can't rule anything out. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember reaching out during training camp and being told, yeah, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that. So does that change the equation? I think they were happy with the way Cunningham and Newhouse played on Sunday, especially given their limited time in the system. At least Bill Belichick indicated that publicly on conference calls. So I don't think that they would make a drastic move like Trent Williams. And I wonder, too, on the turf toe, it probably isn't going to take 2 full months to heal. He probably could have played on it, mm-hmm. but it does say to me that the Patriots might be of a mind, look, when we get him back, we don't want to have him back at 60%, meaning Isaiah Wynn, mm-hmm. and have him play a little bit and then re-aggravate it. So I think it is interesting to see that they're going to put him down for the full 8 weeks and then make the decision after.
Going back to your point about, you know, being concerned about the health and well-being of the quarterback, and legitimately so given the problems on the offensive line, what are the chances Bill Belichick rethinks Tom Brady playing late in a game and going back and throwing bombs away to Rex Burkhead up 37-0?
I think that they are also, meanwhile, in a mode where, as Kyle Van Noy said, when I had him on Quickslants, we want to dominate. We're not stopping. We want to dominate teams. And I don't think that necessarily will back off it. Now, I think Miami was apart from the norm because they had played 59 minutes and 45 seconds last year in week 14 and they lost. So there was that 60-minute mentality. I didn't think it was offensive. I thought it was kind of funny because they are what they are. They do what they do. And if you don't appreciate that as a Patriots observer by now, you're not going to.
See, I didn't take offense. What I'm worried about is Greg Williams' defense getting an extra shot at Tom Brady in that situation.
No, you're right. You're right. And I don't want to diminish that likelihood or possibility. And it's not to be dismissed, because everything hinges on that. And you can look around the league at Pittsburgh or New Orleans or Indianapolis and see that attrition at the quarterback position holds the entire team and organization, franchise, everything hostage.
Steven Gostkowski missed a bunch of kicks on Sunday. Is that one of those where they look at it and say, well, you know, you could certainly do a lot worse. He's missed kicks before, but overall we trust him. Or could it ever get to the point this year where you have to really start to look to maybe find his replacement?
Yeah, I think that because they picked up his contract, gave him a new one in the offseason, it obviously acknowledges their confidence in him. I think his teammates have confidence in him, as Brady illustrated in the Super Bowl. So let's just kick the field goal, wrap it up here. Mm-hmm. But you can't be doing your job well if a position has a really bad game and didn't have a great training camp, and you don't see what you can do about addressing that position. So that's going to be a Caserio and Dave Ziegler operation in terms of, do they get on the phone and bring guys in for kicker tryouts at some point, or just see what's out there? I don't think it would be that rash. Right. I certainly don't think it would happen this week. But you can't be held hostage by that position either.
Now, we know that yesterday the Antonio Brown accuser met with the NFL for 10 hours. It's Wednesday today, which is a big day in the NFL. It's usually the install day. We haven't heard anything about Antonio Brown being put on the commissioner's exempt list, but there was that report out there that this is something that still could potentially happen this week. Do you see that in any way happening this week, or just happening from here on out?
In this week, let's just stick with that. Mm-hmm. Unless there's some kind of legitimate smoking gun forensic evidence, mm-hmm. i.e. a videotape, an audio tape, a text message or email that can be significant, that can be directly proven to have come from Antonio Brown, perhaps, and maybe that's not even, wouldn't rise to the level of it, then I don't think that they're going to sit him down. I think that what it would require would be the jarring imagery that we got with Ray Rice, mm-hmm. or the less jarring but still unseemly and abhorrent stuff we got with Kareem Hunt. You have to see it, where there has to be a criminal investigation, and that seems to be what spurs the NFL. They can, until then, say, well, we got nothing proving anything, mm-hmm. so we have to let the due process operation take its course, which I understand, and I don't think they're going to deviate from.
We're talking with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. There are two reports out now. Ian Rappaport and Jeremy Fowler have both reported that the DA's office in Allegheny County and the police department have reached out to the lawyer for Brittany Taylor about the June 2017 incident that was delineated in her civil lawsuit. If this gets to a criminal stage, does that change things dramatically for the NFL?
Yeah, and I think it changes things for the Patriots, too. From the conversations I've had, it was very clearly delineated to me that, look, if this was a criminal investigation, he wouldn't be here. Point blank. So if it turns into a criminal investigation, or more reasonably, a criminal charge, okay? Maybe I should say criminal charge. If this was a criminal charge, is more accurate in the way it was represented to me. If this were a criminal charge, he wouldn't be here. So we'll see whether or not that spurs them, or how willing Brittany Taylor is. Because here's what's interesting. While her motivation for bringing it to light may be, as Antonio Brown's party says, a money grab, or her motivation might be revenge, that doesn't mean the purported acts are any less reprehensible. So to me, if the investigation goes forward and Brittany Taylor decides she is going to cooperate with law enforcement, that will be interesting to me. Does she want to do that, or does she still hold out hope of a financial settlement, which if she went to law enforcement, she would feel as if that would the chances of that happening would evaporate. So that, to me, is an interesting. Am I wrong on that? Because I'm just kind of spitballing.
I don't think so. And Rapoport, actually, on top of his recent tweet, says, at least the first two alleged offenses committed by Antonio Brown, there will be no criminal inquiry. So at least for those two, he
because of the statute of limitations.
So there still remains the other one. I guess could
the one in Miami, but you'd have to have enough evidence if you're the prosecution to say, okay, something happened here. I don't know if we can just, you know, without no DNA, without no video, without something, I don't know if you could just, you know, put a case together and, try to prosecute somebody.
I think, again, they talked to her for 10 hours on Monday, and we haven't heard anything yet, so I'm with you guys. I don't know if there's been anything too damning that's been out there since. Tom, one of the things we've talked about in the past, I think it might have even been last year with Josh Gordon, is players are supposed to be available after games, and sometimes even, you know, earlier in the week or whatever it might be. Antonio Brown, we know last week after the game against Miami, was not there in the locker room. How long can that realistically keep going? Like, is there going to have to be a point where they make him available to the media, or could they just keep doing this all year long?
Well, there'll be fines levied. I think they're $40,000 fines. I might be wrong, each time that the player doesn't cooperate. Or he doesn't appear before the media. The Patriots could bring him up. Go ahead.
Is that a team fine or a player fine?
No, that's an NFL fine.
I mean,
to the player.
Who pays it? The player? I mean, it's, you know.
To the player.
Got it.
So does it fall to Bill Belichick to allow the media relations staff to then orchestrate an interview of three questions at the podium, which is what they did with Josh Gordon? Mm-hmm. And once the three questions are posed, it's like, okay, we're done. We did this, and he's on his way. What's interesting to me is, with the media, and I'm part of it, is I understand where we want to have an opportunity to ask questions, but I always look to it, what's the return? Are we just doing this to get a journalistic merit badge and we know that we're not going to get anything and we just want to have sound? Because to me, you're going to get into a conversation then if he is brought up there at the point of a bayonet, where then it's going to turn into, well, this player didn't talk, or that player didn't talk, and how come that player wasn't available at his locker after the game? Where was Dante Hightower? Who often, and I love Hightower, he's terrific with us, but he's not always available after a game. And there's plenty of them. He just occurs to me because he's so awesome. After a game, I miss not having a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, but the most the talked.
If we do this, that's going to get taken away. The idea that we in the media can do this at the point of the bayonet, players are going to say, you know what, we don't need them anyway, and teams are going to say we don't need them anyway. The NFL is its own entity. Players, we're going to make three available after the game. How's that sound? We'll bring them all up to the podium. We don't need your asses in the locker room in the first place.
Yeah, but Tom, there's obviously a big difference between talking to Antonio Brown after the game and Jonathan Jones after the game. I mean, this is the most talked about guy in sports. I mean, everybody's
right. What do you think the yield is?
With Antonio Brown, you have no clue. You have no idea what he's going to say. He's the guy you want to hear from the most. Like Josh Gordon last year, I think he had a better case because he's probably going to go up there. He's going to, you know, say a couple of things, and then that's it. Like, what are you really going to get? With Antonio Brown, you have no idea. He could call you a cracker, Tom. We have no clue what Antonio Brown's going to do there. I think it would be, again, a lot of this, I look at sports as entertainment. I think that would be wildly entertaining.
But don't you think the organization might see that and go, oh.
Well, no, of course they did. That's why he wasn't there on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm overestimating his ability to dummy up for 90 seconds. And you're right.
I don't know if it's in him.
I'm missing out on that. But my perception is that I don't feel like hustling in there, standing, you know, ass to front, to reach over with a microphone to get him to say, I like football. I sure do like football.
Right.
God bless. I'm out of here.
And then as a player, you know, like, there's always ways to get around it, right? You could go in the training room and, you know, say, hey, I need you to look at this.
But, I mean, like, so what's the extreme here? Are we saying we shouldn't hear from any of the players?
Well, no, but you should just play? But then I think Tom makes a good
point. I don't know why we have to go to an extreme.
Right, but that, I think Tom makes a good point. Then the NFL would have to step in because Antonio Brown could be like, well, the reason why I wasn't in the locker room is because I had to meet with the, you know, training staff. And now it's like, okay, well, if that's the case now, you know, hey, you only get three questions with player X, Y, and Z.
But the Patriots, for the most part, don't say a word anyway. So it's like, what? But yet we hear from a lot of them after the games. We hear from Brady all the time, right? I mean, what? So
I don't understand what you're, Rich. I'm not sure what you're maintaining here. I'm saying that getting Antonio Brown up to the podium because he's being forced there, I understand that we are allowed to demand it. I understand that we want the sound. I understand that we're going to get the quotes. But I think that on the other hand, too, it's not going to be a high yield. My journalistic sensibilities are not that offended by him not talking because I don't care what he says.
Oh, I just want to hear what he... Oh, so that's where we differ. I do care what he says. I want to hear what he says.
I thought
he was the best part of Hard Knocks, and then it's really only gone up from there. I am curious as to what he's going to say.
But what if he just gives you the company line?
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. That's what the Patriots do the whole time, and yet we hear from them. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you don't want to hear, not you, Tom, but just anybody, if you don't want to hear from Antonio Brown after this week, then I don't think you want to hear from any athlete after any game ever. Like, why else would you want to hear from him?
So Tom, let me ask this other question then. I know it's all about hearing from Antonio Brown, right? That's something we want to know. When do you think the NFL sits down and has their interview with Antonio Brown?
Probably just based upon, we were talking about this a little last night, Wiggy, is when you see some of the investigations that go on college campuses. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not an expert on how these go down, but you often want to talk to as many people who are involved on the receiving end of this before you bring it to the individual. But I couldn't even guess on when they would want to sit down directly with Antonio Brown.
We brought this up earlier. I'm curious to get your take as somebody who's in that locker room on a number of occasions. Antonio Brown has not been allowed to talk to the media here yet. I don't think he will be anytime soon. And what you're left with is asking questions of Matthew Slater or James White or Dante Hightower or other players about Antonio Brown. How much longer will they entertain that before they just say, you know what, I don't want to talk about him anymore?
Well, I think that every time there's going to be a spike or a new news drop that occurs, then there will be questions. But I can't imagine that there's going to be a lot of Antonio Brown questions posed right now because you, again, as someone covering the team on a daily basis on the beat, you understand, well, nothing has happened. There's no real difference in what his reaction will be. What's the yield? What are we getting from what we ask? If CNN goes down there, I'm certain they'll ask a question and the players will cooperate to an extent. But again, to me, it's when something happens, we ask the questions. Love to ask him of that particular player, too, if he's going to get up there and manage to spit out some stuff that's useful. But I don't think that's going to happen. My overall point, too, and what I was saying is the media relying on this policy and saying every player has to talk at least once a week at his locker and every player who played in the game has to be available after the game, what player is it going to do in the next, if I were a player or if I were in the league, I'd say, look, I really don't need the media as much as we might have needed it in 1960, 70, and 80 when the league was forming. I can talk directly to the fans through social media. So as a media group, we don't want to cut off our nose to spite our face to make sure that these guys are right, because they could go into the CBA negotiations and say, you know what, you know and we know that we don't need to do all this media stuff anyway. We can just have a select three or four guys do it on a rotating basis, and when it's their turn, they talk. Otherwise, we don't have to do it. I just think it's fascinating from the journalistic side of it. I'm not saying that I don't want to hear from Antonio Brown. I'm just saying that the way the league is morphed, they don't really need us anymore.
Tom, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He does bring up...
I'm not saying that is a good point, though.
But no. But he brings up an interesting point, and we've joked about this in the past. The NFL requires too much media. I mean, Bill Belichick has to talk how many times during the week? Tom Brady, is forced. Now, he doesn't have to do the Monday thing. That's contractual. But he has to do a Wednesday. He has to do a post-game.
Right.
It almost does seem a little like overkill. And ultimately, the Players Association could say, all right, tell you what. You pick any three players you want. Game's over. You pick any three players you want. Those players will go to the podium. Right. They'll answer your questions. And then we're done. And we don't need media in the locker room anymore. We don't need guys milling around.
And it could be the same three players every week.
It could be. I mean, you could send Lawrence Guy, James White, and Daron Harmon. You know,
you'd get a
guests,
massive storyline.
Yeah. But I don't know. And I get what Tom's point is about how things have changed. And that's why I'm not telling the beat reporters they have to go demand Antonio Brown. But his point about, well, they don't need the media as much now, that is 100% true. But
they don't.
The Patriots, yeah. But
right.
Antonio Brown, he's done what, two different Instagram things since he's been here? Like, he's pretty much chilled out on that because he's probably been told to chill out on that. So it's
and
not
it's
like,
obvious they're keeping him from the media now, the team. Right.
Yes, and it's not like
it's not his choice.
If he was still on the Steelers or if he was still on the Raiders, my guess is you'd be able to keep up with him on Instagram a little bit more than you would with the Patriots. That's why one of the few times I thought he would maybe be able to break his silence was after the game on Sunday. It didn't happen. And then for me, and I could be very much in the minority here, but the longer you keep him from talking, the more that even becomes a story. And it's like, wow, they really don't trust him. Like, they're terrified of what he's going to say.
I think they look at it like this is, you know, as a guy who's been in that locker room and who's dealt with media before, I think they're concerned that certain people's personalities, right? Like Matthew Slater won't give them.
They're not worried about Matthew Slater at all. Right.
They don't feel like somebody will trick him into saying something, because that's one thing that the NFL does, right? The NFLPA comes in during the, you know, usually before the season and training camp and goes, guys, hey, listen. Here's what you got to be careful of. You got to be careful of media members trying to trick you into saying things, right? And you just came off the field. The emotions are running high, this, that, and the other. So you have to be careful. So I think Tom makes a good point. Where we are now in today's society, if I'm an NFL player, that's one of the things that I say, listen, guys, we should have in the CBA, because we don't need the media. We could do whatever we want without them. They really mean nothing to us because of social media.
I do think also, and Tom's point about, and we'll use the Patriots as the example here. Whatever Patriots you hear quoted post-game tell you nothing. They are so well-schooled, so well-drilled here. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give you anything. Post-game, they're going to talk about what a great opponent that was, you know, how tough they made it for everybody. Everybody worked hard. I mean, they're going to give you, there's not going to be any, man, I can't believe they blitzed me on that third down. I was licking my chops when that happened. Not going to happen here.
Right. And you got to be careful, because look at the Jalen Ramsey situation, right? He gets out there. He gets.
So that's not a league thing, right? I mean, around the league, you'll get some stuff.
Right.
He gets in front of the media sometimes. I mean, Belichick and Brady, because they talk so much, and you can read between the lines at times of what they're saying.
Right, but it's not like, you know, down there.
Well, it's not demanding trades or anything like that. No, it's true.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith. Wiggy's in the house as well.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. A couple of news and notes from around the National Football League. According to Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network, the Jaguars have had trade talks surrounding star cornerback Jalen Ramsey. But the likely trade date for a trade is post-game. Now, they play the Thursday night game, so they're talking potentially Friday. He has said he wants to play Thursday. If I were the Jaguars, there is no way on God's green earth he's playing for me Thursday night if I'm looking to deal him on Friday.
Can he play Thursday and Sunday? I don't know what the league rule is on that. Could he play twice in week three? That'd have to at least tie a record, wouldn't it?
I don't know what the rule is.
Like, just a week start and then that's it. I have no idea. But anyway.
I played on two Monday night games.
Back-to-back Monday night games for different teams?
Was it back-to-back? I don't think it was back-to-back, but it was in the same season, I want to say.
All right.
I was in the...
With two different teams, you're saying?
With two different teams. I was in the Jets miracle game.
Okay.
That one, the comeback game there with Testaverde. And then I played that same year, I played in the Monday night against Kansas City here.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
So speaking of Kansas City, that would be the one team that I would really hope Jalen Ramsey doesn't get traded to. Because
didn't he say Vegas and someplace else he liked?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't really matter what he likes.
No, I know.
Right? Like, he would have to go somewhere. But I just think the Chiefs are the only other team right now that you feel like is a true contender with the Patriots in the AFC.
Right.
Their offense is great, so you both have great offenses. The Patriots have a huge advantage defensively. But if they got Jalen Ramsey,
why would you want to trade him in the conference if you're Jacksonville?
Oh, just what do you mean? Come on, just get whatever you can. It's not, at least it's not the division. If they offer you two first-round picks and nobody else does, you owe it to your franchise to trade them.
And out. I don't believe they'll offer that.
Yeah, that's
much,
what I mean.
But,
you think
they may offer more than anybody else.
Yeah. But that would be a smart move by Kansas City,
well,
too.
Oakland might offer a lot, especially when there's reports that he would like to play in Oakland.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately going to be moving to Vegas.
Well, here's what Jalen Ramsey had to say about this whole thing.
If you your ideal playing spot, your ideal playing situation, would it be here?
It'll probably be either here or Vegas.
When Oakland goes to Vegas?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why Vegas?
Yeah,
you just say the city Vegas. There's no team there. He's like, here or Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas. Not it. Yeah. Vegas.
Why Vegas? You like Vegas?
Yeah, I like Vegas. They ain't got no state income tax. I mean, here don't either, but Vegas.
And neither does Florida.
I mean, yeah, but you feel me? We thinking about.
Yeah, my fault. Yeah,
we're making the move.
We
got the loading trucks packed.
Yeah, we was making the move. And then, Vegas, you got everything there. And the house is dope. Like,
so he was talking about Tennessee or Vegas. Who was he talking to?
John? So that's the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Yeah. That cuts from like June or July.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Vegas is nightlife compared to Jacksonville.
Come on.
I think that's what he was trying to go.
I love the team's not even there yet.
I think he was trying to go down that path. Like, come on, it's Vegas, man. You know what I mean? It's like, it's Vegas. The nightlife in Vegas is.
But I mean, he could still. What is he in year four? So he's under contract for one more year, isn't he? So if he gets traded to the Chiefs, even if he doesn't want to be in Kansas City, he plays this year, next year, then goes cashes in somewhere else. It'd still work out for both sides.
One other bit of news from Rappaport, again on NFL Network here in the last few minutes. Cam Newton, not at practice today. In fact, I'll take it one step further. He was in a walking boot again today. It does not look like he's going to be able to play Sunday. And his GM yesterday, Marty Herney, even said, we don't know when he's going to be
Cap
able to go.
Cap would be a perfect fit there. They might give the lead option.
Except this guy's not done.
Well,
he's going to play again. Now, this was the foot he hurt in the Patriots preseason.
But who knows
game.
How long he's going to be out for? You want a guy to come in that can run that read option like Cam Newton?
Well, it is something when he's, we talked about in the preseason how Tom Brady already outlasted Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance he's going to outlast Ben Roethlisberger. Right. And these are all guys that came into the league after him.
Eli Manning.
And there's a chance Cam Newton. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to retire, but. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. He doesn't look right. He hasn't looked right for a while.
Right.
You wonder how much longer Cam Newton even plays. And by the way, their backup is Kyle Allen, who, I don't know.
Well, it's all about, like we talked about, Kaepernick, right? Isn't it about fit with him?
That would be a team that would make some sense.
Yeah, because think about Carolina. I mean, what are they? They don't throw the ball a ton. And if they do throw it, they want to throw it to McCaffrey out of the backfield.
And if Newton does return... What, are you just going to pencil him in for the rest of the season?
Right.
I feel like that's just another injury waiting to happen. So that would actually make a little bit of sense.
This news came in from Jeff McClain, covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Eagles canceled practice for Wednesday, which he writes, I can't recall ever happening for a Sunday game after a Sunday game.
Wow.
They are supposedly so beat up physically that they decided they're better off if they don't practice today.
Nice.
Well, they played Monday night, right?
No, they played Sunday. They're playing again Sunday.
Oh, that was Sunday night they played?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's week three.
Wow.
It is week three, and you're canceling the Wednesday practice.
Well, nice. Wow. The whole season's a mess already.
I've never heard of a team in that situation.
And Wednesday's the most important day. That's install.
Right. Yeah.
That's install, baby.
We'll get to it tomorrow.
Well, now if you get to install on Thursday, then that means you have to push third down.
Now, where's walkthrough?
You have to push third down to Friday, and that means now Friday.
I don't love their game plan.
Friday's generally red zone and goal line. Then you got to push.
It's not a good approach.
Push that to Saturday?
Sure.
Or maybe you double up on one of those days?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not, well, you know what? Listen, the Eagles, they blew my pick on last week's football show Sunday.
We both
really screwed me bad, especially against a horrible Atlanta team, which I think they're not very good.
Just make a tackle.
So they screwed you because you screwed up the pick?
No, they screwed up by not tackling Julio Jones.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. You picked wrong, but it's their fault.
Well, they were favored. to win the game.
Okay, you picked them.
By 2 points.
You picked them wrong.
The right. Who would not pick the week before?
Well, somebody who knows what they're talking
the
about,
Wiggy. Falcons put
somebody
up,
who knows how to pick a game wouldn't have picked them.
The week before, the Atlanta Falcons put up 12 points against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins, went 8 of 10 for 98
yards.
Honest
to God, I know you've never been wrong in your life, ever, but you actually think it's their fault that you picked the wrong team.
Well, how do you lose to the Falcons?
Falcons are a decent team.
No, they're not.
And, oh, by the way, apparently Philadelphia is more beat up than we knew.
Yeah, but this was before the game. It'd be like picking, you know, I picked the Patriots. And if they lose to Miami, shouldn't I be upset with the Patriots?
No, you should say that you picked wrong.
No, I didn't pick wrong. I picked right.
No, I'm saying if you did pick wrong.
They screwed you.
Yeah, they screwed
that's
us.
That's what it is. He screwed you.
Yeah, they think they screwed me and Keith and Fourier.
Big time.
Yeah.
Did we all have them?
I think we all had them.
Not good.
Damn.
Should have listened to me on Friday.
Shyam had it.
Shyam, you didn't
have them? Shyam went
the other way. Hell no.
Shyam's just picking winners. Wow. All you do is spot winners. You got to lean on that Thursday game yet, Shyam? You got to pick for us tomorrow?
Man, Thursday night football is
listen, you got to pick it.
Silly.
You got to pick what's on the board.
I don't have to pick anything. I'm not going to risk it if I don't feel confident.
I think you should, though. I think you owe it to the listener now. We're just thirsty for picks.
I mean, I did get the Cleveland right.
I know you did. You got Monday night. You smoked
If you're
going to
force
night.
Me into picking something, I will.
Might.
Explain. So you picked Atlanta over Philly?
No, I didn't pick the game.
But if I asked you for your professional gambling expertise.
Oh, with John on the off day pod, I sure did.
You picked Atlanta?
Yeah, we both did.
Really?
At home.
Why? Did you not see Atlanta the week before against Minnesota?
It's week one. A lot of it's
things
fluky.
Change. Week to week. You can't just base it all on last week's picks.
Yeah, but you
gotta
decide.
You gotta sort of anticipate what's gonna happen, not what did happen.
But you gotta build off what you've seen.
Well, but we know teams can change week to week. I don't know if you've heard this little phrase any given
Sunday. But they didn't screw them.
Well, they got it right.
Well, they got lucky.
They did. They caught a break.
You got screwed. They got lucky.
I mean,
you have a unique way of looking at how these games come out.
Truthfully, they might be the only two people in America that
maybe ever
Atlanta.
Yeah, that sounds about
Josh
right.
Josh still has making the playoffs, guys. Come on.
Ugh. My MVP is still Matt Ryan. Right
oh,
now.
God. Atrocious.
By the way, Wiggy, 2-4 on his picks on NFL Sunday this year. Only picks he's been correct about are the Patriots.
No, I'm not.
No, that's not right.
I was 2-1 last week.
Yeah.
And so I was 2-1 this week because I picked...
You picked the Patriots, and we both have the Rams.
Yeah,
Wiggy, I think, is 4-2.
Yeah,
sorry, that backwards. 4-8.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see?
Oh, well, for God's sake.
Yeah, get it straight in there.
We don't know who to rip and who not to, John, for God's sake.
I mean, the dynamite drop in.
All us tight ends look alike.
Yeah.
Well, you and he hardly not that much, but, I mean, other tight ends.
Hey, I have many friends who are tight ends.
You know, leave it.
We all have one friend.
Just step away. Step away from the vehicle.
I mean, it's true. We all have one friend that's a tight end.
Kurt Warner, by the way, tweeted out, "We all know Belichick is awesome, but every time I study details of their D, I am more impressed. Always about the little nuances they not only teach, but their players execute. Have a great Patriots defense, X's and O's, coming up Sunday on NFL Game Day morning."
Well, looking forward to
that,
Kurt.
He has broken down why the Patriots' defense is so good. Some of that might have something to do with the Miami Dolphins, but
I don't need to see a replay.
No, but
we watched them. Yeah, they've been great.
But I'm really looking
forward to that breakdown.
I really think from watching them, especially through the first 2 weeks of the season, they're doing a lot of things that we probably haven't seen in recent past, and I think they have the ability to do that because of a lot of the players that they have are very multiple, and that's where what's always been their biggest issue for the Patriots, let's say for the past 3 or 4 years on defense, their inability to do what?
Pass rush.
And now you're starting to see them really make it difficult.
They got a bunch of different guys, too, that can do it, a bunch of different looks.
They're all multiple, you know?
They don't have any weaknesses. Right, before there was always sort of one thing that you'd say, all right, well, you can maybe get to him this way.
You want a name drop? A good name drop?
Of course I do.
Okay, so I was at Sweet Feet's event.
Nice.
In the bowling event.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
And so I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Brady. He showed up for a while.
Yeah.
Even more humble brag.
He's like, he's getting there.
Yeah, yes. So...
And then Denzel Washington walked in.
No, so him,
he
him
said,
and I,
hey, Wiggy.
No, him and I got to talking, and we were talking, and I got to talking about the defense. And I said, the thing that really makes your defense so good is the the ability to have guys that are multiple who can play many different positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's completely different. When I played, you don't have no more 270-pound outside linebackers or 290-pound defensive ends.
Right.
All these guys are 250.
Yeah, all their linebackers can cover, stop the run, and get after the quarterback.
And they move all over the place.
Yeah, that's tough to go up against.
What else you got coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. But every time I study details of their D, always about the little nuance.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
I was going to do this.
Rookie.
I was going to do this. Paul, how do you say his name? Paul Feinbaum?
Feinbaum.
Right. Okay. So now there's a little video to this, but he was on Get Up and he was going back and forth with Ryan Clark. Well, basically, Ryan Clark undressed him because he said that Cam Newton is done. The only thing Cam Newton cares about is himself and all this other stuff. And then 10 seconds after that, Ryan Clark goes, "You just gloated and about how great Eli Manning was and what a great player he was for the organization."
Yeah, he's been worse.
Yeah.
Longer. Recently, he's
and
been
dragging
worse.
Down, yeah. And dragging down, and the Feinbaum was like, Cam Newton was dragging down the organization. Mm. And Eli was like, wait a second. Eli doesn't want to give up the starting job. He doesn't
right.
want, you know.
By the way,
Eli
has Cam Newton record. Might be done. It'll
could
be physical.
Be. Could it, be.
You know, I mean, he was an early retirement waiting to happen.
Right.
The way he plays and
right,
as much as he gets
he's
hit.
Been trying to
but
stick
I think
it out
Ryan Clark's point was you just gloated about Eli Manning. And don't gloat over a guy just because his last name's Manning.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what we talked about.
That's what everybody does.
What else you got?
Richard?
Well, Dale, speaking of Eli Manning, he's no longer the starter, obviously, in New York, but
So, by the way, Daniel Jones was at the podium today.
Yeah, so
because
Eli's
starting quarterbacks are. They had to go seek Eli Manning out in the locker room.
And they did. So at the locker room, Eli was asked a very important question.
Is this the end of Eli Manning or just another...
Who knows? So, it's again, I'm not dying and the season's not over. So there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for. And, so I just got to, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
Look, I hate Eli Manning, but that's the only way you can answer that. Is this the end of Dale Arnold?
Yeah. Well, I'm not feeling that well, to
I'm
be
like,
honest with you, Rich.
What do you know that I don't? Like, what a ridiculous question. You could say, is this the end of Eli Manning as a starting quarterback? But the guy's still in real world. He's young.
Well, he's done in the league.
He's still in the league.
But I think after this, he's done in the league. Do you think that...
Does he ever start another game in the NFL?
No.
Dale?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he probably does.
So he goes somewhere as a backup.
I think he could.
He might start with the Giants before the season's out.
I just think it's one of those things where Daniel Jones could certainly get hurt. We just see so many young guys come in here and get hurt.
Barring no injury, right?
Oh.
You really think?
No, the plan is he'll never start again for the Giants. They drafted Daniel Jones 6th overall. He should be the quarterback the rest of his career there. But I could see another team maybe making a deal for him and maybe he plays a game somewhere else.
What else you got?
Let's be honest. This whole Eli Manning, Daniel Jones thing is kind of a big storyline, especially in New York. But there's really only one opinion I need to hear about this whole thing. Because a couple of years ago, when they replaced Eli Manning as the starting quarterback, kind of ill-advised though it might have been at the time, this guy was going nuts about it. So you wanted to hear what Mike Francesa had to say.
Eli is now part of the Giant history. He is part of the Giants' halcyon days. He is about 2 Super Bowls. He's about great games and, played in the playoffs. He's about all the good memories because that's what happens when your career ends. They remember the good times, and they should, because this guy gave you a great run and 2 Super Bowl championships against the New England Patriots, which changed the face of the NFL, those 2 games. Because the Pats, Belichick and Brady, would be the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time if they had not been stopped by Coughlin and Eli. But they were twice, not once, twice in a period of 4 years. And those days, as you remember as a Giant fan, were days that you puffed out your chest and remembered, hey, the Giants could handle the Pats when the Pats were at their best.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Okay, so
hold on.
They did stop Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, he can gloat for that.
No, that's true. But because of those two games, they're not the best quarterback and coaching tandem in history.
No, he's wrong.
Who's
about
he got? Who does he have? Somebody ahead of him?
I'm guessing who Walsh was the coach? And Montana.
Well, then again, who was the coach of the Giants when they won those Super Bowls?
Tom Coughlin.
Well, there you
he's
go.
He's not Eli. Saying Coughlin and
well,
Eli.
If you took down the greatest coach and quarterback.
So all they really did was prevent the perfect season. So the Miami Dolphins and Mercury Morris should be the biggest fans of Eli and Coughlin. As far as Belichick's legacy and Brady's legacy, they won before and they won after.
Right, but they
and
do.
They've won more than anybody else. But what is Francisca getting at?
As a Giants fan, you got that, you have that four, that two
you
out
puff
of
your chest out.
Right,
as
for
said.
That, whatever puff that right that window was, you can pump your chest out, say we beat the undefeated team.
No, I know, and that's
Patriots.
Huge. That part of it's huge.
That's what
but they didn't
on.
Change the landscape of the NFL.
Didn't change the history of the NFL because of those two wins.
No, I think the phone was distracting him when he was making that point.
Yeah, probably.
Answer the phone back there. I'd be yelling at Chime or somebody.
Cool it.
All right, we got to get out of here. Wiggy, good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
We'll be back tomorrow. Peter King will be among our guests.
Yes.
OMF's coming up next, and they've got Alex Cora on at 4 o'clock here on Sports Radio WEEI. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.